My name is Michael Nguyen. I'm a second year medical student at the University of Washington. So the talk today I'm about to give is, I'd like to preface that, is less scientific than my colleagues. It's more about my some prior literature and my own experiences during my first and second year of medical school, and I hope to advocate for students, medical students, who are unfamiliar with working with people with disabilities, which is a growing population that we're seeing. So the talk today is entitled Challenging Normacy, Integrating Disability Studies into Medical Education. I have no relationships to disclose at this point. And so a brief overview. I'd like to present a problem, which I found was disability is largely framed as a problem within undergraduate, as a medical problem within undergraduate medical education. Why this matters, and then provide some recommendations to improve healthcare for people with disabilities. So the individual model of disability, commonly referred to as the medical model, is the most prevalent and predominating lens in medicine and broader social culture. It frames disability as a medical problem, emphasizing the inherent deficit within the mind-body of individuals. As this is a medical problem, only healthcare providers can fix or cure these individuals. Similarly, medicine has traditionally viewed disability and health as being mutually exclusive. This creates a binary system of either being healthy or disabled, leaving no room for there to be a healthy person with a disability. So with this talk, I hope to challenge you to think about what is disability, what is it to be healthy, and does disability change the way medicine should treat these patients? So when people with disabilities come into the clinic or interface with the medical system, they face many barriers to care, be it physical barriers, inaccessible buildings, exam rooms that are not accommodating, or lack of interpreters, interpreters and translators. They also face a negative attitude of physicians about disability, commonly pushing away, pushing people with disabilities away from wanting to seek care. Some ways that this has surfaced is that clinical providers often consider people with disabilities as extra work or as a failure of the medical system. When disability is understood as an inherently bad or should be prevented condition, it places a normative understanding of body states. For example, walking is better than using an assistive device such as a cane or a wheelchair. And also in an era of cost-effective healthcare, we sometimes consider the extra time and effort to accommodate people with disabilities as burdens to the medical system. Now, people with disabilities may also receive substandard care. Even when medical visits are not related to the patient's disability, physicians, especially young ones or medical students, hone in on the individual's disability rather than the chief complaint or general health. Because of this, people with disabilities may be left out of preventative health care or do not receive the standard of care as other patients. They often lack STD screenings and/or exercise regimens for people with maybe in a wheelchair, utilizing a wheelchair. Healthcare providers are also rather neglect and ignore people with disabilities as autonomous decision makers in healthcare. For example, speaking with personal attendants or care providers rather than the patients themselves. And lastly, there may be a misunderstanding about the quality of life regarding people with disabilities. Providers have gone as far as saying people with disabilities live a life that's not worth living. And even in public health, some efforts in public health have neglected people with disabilities or even alienated them. For example, historically, the March of Dimes used images of children using crutches or wheelchairs as poster children, eliciting feelings of pity in order to gain financial support. So, disability is missing in undergraduate medical education, also into many fields of graduate medical education, as disability is not a core requirement for accreditation or receiving federal funding, which pays for residencies. In a survey in 2004 of medical school deans, more than half stated that that disability is not a high priority for their curriculum, for integration into their curriculum. And over 70% of medical schools provide less than 3 hours of didactic training on disability. This leaves students having little awareness about disability or training. 1 in 5, or approximately, or 20% of graduating fourth-year medical students reported receiving any clinical training with people with disabilities. And medical students and residents commonly express discomfort when working with people with disabilities. So why change? It becomes a issue because people with disabilities are significant and matter in medicine because we're going to see a growing population that ages into disability. Medical interventions have helped individuals both age into disability and live longer with a disability. People who are who live long enough will die with some form of disability. People who experience trauma and acquire a disability are more likely to live. And people who may have died during infancy of a medical complication are more likely to live with their disability. Therefore, people with disabilities are likely to live healthier and longer lives due to inclusion and greater social support. Physicians are going to encounter this greater growing population, and it's prior literature has stated has reported that being able to work with people with disabilities also prepares you to work with the non-disabled population. So, I believe that more and earlier training in medical education will help address some of the negative attitudes that may exist within the medical community, and also provide better care. We may be able to get more realistic estimates of the ability and quality of life of people with disabilities, provide patient-centered care, involve the patients within the shared decision-making process, and address preventive care needs and health for people with disabilities. So how are we going to do this? There are opportunities for disability education. It's the same, in that same survey, 95% of the medical school deans want a disability to be part of the curriculum. So how can we do this? We can engage the disability community in medical education, such as inviting the disability scholars and advocates to give presentations and offer alternative perspectives about disability. Additionally, we can use the concept that's been a hot trend in medicine of being culturally competent, or disability can be included in a similar way as other minority groups, such as race and ethnic groups, or even communities like the LGBTQI community. However, this doesn't need to be the case because it is a part of all communities and lived experiences. We can also utilize skills-based training. For example, a lot of medical schools use standardized patients, and a little bit about standardized patients. They are actors that are hired to have fictitious diseases, and as a medical student, you go in and you try to figure out what is going on and make a diagnosis. Well, if we include people with disabilities as actors in these settings, It would allow medical students to learn how to interact better with people that use assistive, augmentative communication devices, develop disability etiquette, how to do a physical exam, utilizing accommodating equipment, and how to use interpreters. Overall, it might help students become more comfortable with people with disabilities. Another common trend that we've seen in medicine is service-based learning. And research showed this contributes students' appreciation and understanding about disability as an individual, environmental, and societal construct. It also provides an opportunity for students to receive mentorships from people with disabilities and community organizations that advocate for accessibility and awareness about disability. And lastly, interprofessional development. Medicine has long been held as this ivory tower that we can fix everything. And I guess coming from being trained in public health prior to medical school, I feel like utilizing the resources that we have within the other disciplines will also benefit the way we can provide better care for people with disabilities. So my experience thus far at the University of Washington, which serves five states, Washington, Alaska, Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana, has been fairly limited with people with disabilities. We talk about geriatrics, we talk about pediatrics, ethics, but disability is really not discussed throughout the curriculum. It's slowly changing at our institution, but there's a lack of exposure to people with disabilities, and even when there is, it's a very focused model on medical conditions that may impact their lives rather than seeing them as a holistic being. So to supplement that, I have had the opportunity to shadow and work with physiatrists or physical medicine rehabilitation doctors at the Rehab Institute of Chicago this past summer, and also at Schwab and within the Sinai Health System in Chicago, that have brought me to really become more passionate about learning about how to work with people with disabilities and really try to become an advocate for this patient population that often is neglected. And with that, some references. And I'd like to acknowledge the Harlan Hahn Endowment Fund for its financial support for this project. Again, this content is solely the responsibility of me, my responsibility, and doesn't reflect the views of the funding source. I'd also like to thank Dennis Lang, Anjali Truitt, and Joanne Boyack for their support and going over this talk with me. And with that, I'd open it up for questions and comments. There, yeah. Getting there.
I don't know if
So in our training system thus far, we, during the first and second year, interview patients that are already in the hospital for care or basic treatment. They volunteer to be part of this interview process so we can do the physical exam. But throughout the cohort of 240 students, there's this, like, a common thing that there's nobody that's worked with a person with a disability, or they won't screen people with disabilities. So it's a challenge that we're facing now to integrate people with disabilities, especially during our curriculum renewal. We are trying to change our curriculum to an 18-month process for didactic teaching and then clinical. So I think the reason why I brought this up at this point in time is because I believe that we can change our curriculum and incorporate it earlier, like you were saying with PM&R or physical medicine and chronic care. We don't get exposed to that until the fourth year, and that being the case, we've already applied for our residencies. We're already in the program. We've signed that paperwork. It's binding for us, and we can't do anything about it after we've matched. So having it earlier, I think, is the only way that I can see this becoming effective in teaching students how to work with people with disabilities or having some sort of impairment. That's fair. I signed up for it. I know that. Challenge, yeah.
And it does require that, on one hand, you want to treat people with disabilities as if they're normal, sort of. And on the other hand, you want to assess them as a disability. So it's not so clear.
Right.
So whatever cultural problem they have, we have in the U.S., we have the medical system here. We could have trained it better. You know, I mean, it's not just taking people to the country. We could design the U.S. medical schools to do a better job, I think, without too much difficulty. And I don't know how you're going to bring it into the curriculum.
Well, the other situation, too, is we're talking about there's a big difference between a physical disability and a disability, like you said, where you're hearing impaired, or, and this, not to say this is a disability, because I was born in the U.S. either, I'm actually from Germany. So I didn't speak English until I was 10. And I just can't stop talking because I speak English.
Well, I think the way that I think we can make that move towards changing the curriculum is getting the student body involved. I think money drives everything in this day and age. Medicine is a consumer-based industry, you know, and we are the new physicians, and we're paying tuition. We're keeping those lights on in the hospital. We're keeping the medical schools open. So I think that, in a way, medical schools need to recognize that if medical students would understand that, you know, and relate to patients that have physical disabilities or cognitive disabilities or any limitations to communication and such, then we can actually make that statement to our admissions committee and to our curriculum committee. I think that society the way it is now is very, you know, dollar driven. So students have a voice when we say, hey, this is what we want.
I think that one of the huge problems that comes up in training residents is that they have no idea about how to fill out all those forms that are required for people to get a wheelchair, get a scooter, to get a cane or anything. And yet, in the outpatient setting, you have to be able to do that. In the hospital, you have a lot of people around you to help you do that.
But we're not trained.
You really don't have anybody, and you have these forms of disabilities you have to fill out for people to get social security disability and things like that. So my solution is that medical students fill out all those forms, and then I give you a whole
double.
Okay, listen, thank you very much.